Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is James Kelly, and I want to welcome you all to the... I want to welcome you all to the 18th annual Irish Week here at Augusta. I hope you're all enjoying yourselves this week, all the students and the people who are out this evening. Are you having a good time? Now, I must admit that this is much more nerve-wracking than playing. I'd rather be up here playing the fiddle than talking to you all night. I usually fumble from one word to the next, so please bear with me as the evening goes by. Before we start the show, I just have one or two announcements to make. I want to remind you that there are no cameras, no photographs allowed here this evening. You'll have to keep it all inside in your mind, the images of the evening as we move along. We don't allow tape recorders in the auditorium also this evening. And please wait for applause to enter or leave the hall. How does that sound? Not too bad, right? And the last question is, you do understand what I'm saying? Yes? Right, well, before we start the show off, I would like to invite Mick Maloney out here on stage, because I'm going to make an announcement or two, and I want to invite Mick out. Come on, Mick. Mick Maloney, ladies and gentlemen. So this is my speech from the dock here. And by the way, you can't read this as I'm reading. You have to stand aside there. This message came in this evening from the National Endowment for the Arts, and I'd like to read this to you very briefly. The National Endowment for the Arts has announced that among the 13 fellowships awarded this year, one has gone to the founder of Irish Week at Augusta Heritage Centre, Mick Maloney from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, Mick is definitely, he's an Irish Renaissance man who helped ignite a major resurgence of Irish-American music, dance, and culture in the US. His many accomplishments as a teacher, producer, performer, and scholar include shaping the Irish component of the Smithsonian Bicentennial Festival of American Folklife, producing numerous festivals, co-founding the acclaimed Greenfields of America touring group that included Michael Flatley, and consulting for the 1995 documentary Out of Ireland. Mick is an outstanding tenor banjo player who also sings and plays mandolin, mandola, bouzouki, and guitar. He has performed on or produced over 50 recordings, including those of older musicians, and has profoundly influenced many younger successful artists. And we want to acknowledge this great achievement from Mick Maloney here this evening, so give him another round of applause. And the first group of musicians this evening is going to feature Mick. And joining Mick, we have a brother and sister team from Whitestone, New York, Marie and Martin Riley. They learned their music from their father, who is a Longford tin whistle player and accordion player called Martin. They took lessons with Maureen Glynn. I'm sure some people here in the audience would have met Maureen Glynn. She had a wonderful music school in New York City. And sadly, she died about a year ago or a year and a half ago in Ireland at a very young age of 47. And Martin and Marie studied with her at the time while she was living in New York. Marie herself has just recently received her law degree. And she tells me also that there's a series on PBS called Fathers and Daughters that she's going to be featured on. So you can look out for that show coming up in the near future. I think Liz Carroll is on it. And Joni Madden is on, and a few other musicians as well. And last but not least, they're joined by a colleague, my musical colleague, Zan McLeod from Gaffney in South Carolina. And Zan is he was voted one of America's most talented multi-instrumentalists on guitar. He likes to play in dadga tuning, D-A-D-G-A-D. He plays the bouzouki, he plays the mandolin, and he's an outstanding musician who has... He was a founding member of Touchstone in the 70s with Trinity Gonal. He's in recent times, he's been on many recordings. He's been on Liz Carroll's recording, most new CD. and he's recorded with Eileen Ivers some music for the Titanic movie and various other recordings as well. They're going to be joined also by two outstanding dancers who I had the pleasure myself of playing with on Tuesday night, Deirdre Goulding, who is the North American Irish step dancing champion. I will tell you, I was trying to get some information out of Deirdre and she didn't want to tell me anything at all, so I had to go to other sources to get all this information. I wonder how herself and her husband got on. But anyway, Deirdre is from Boston and she studied under a man called Michael Smith. It's her first time at Augusta and I know that she's having a great week here. I want to tell you also that she performs with Riverdance and Cherish the Ladies, and she also is with Greenfields of America with Mick, and she's joined by Jordan Dudney, who is based out of the DC area. Jordan studied under Regan Wick. It's her second time as teacher at Augusta, and she's performing at Greenfields of America. So I'm going to shut up and get off the stage. And please put your hands together and give a great welcome to Mick Maloney, Marie and Martin Riley, and Zan McLeod. Thanks very much.
started off there with a selection of tunes. The first was A Shottish, which is associated with the memory of Joe Bann, a wonderful whistle player from Feakle in East Clare, a great influence on the music of Martin Hayes. And then we follow that with two beautiful jigs, one associated with Dennis Murphy, the great fiddle player from the Slieve Lucra area of County Kerry. The second called Seamus Cooley's, also the Behola jig from County Mayo. And then a tune that only Martin knows the name of because I have forgotten, which is?
It's called Trip to Collinstown.
The Trip to Collinstown. Like to continue with the song, one of the many songs of emigration that we've produced in Ireland over the last 150 years. And this is a song called Sweet King Williamstown. King Williamstown was the name given before Irish independence to the little town of Ballydesmond on the Kerry-Cork border. And after we got our independence, we changed the name back to Ballydesmond. But before 1921, it was known as King Williamstown. And a nice melody and one of those classic songs of emigration and exile, because most of the people who left, of course, in the old days never went back. And I didn't know much about the song until I sang it in Boston, and a woman came up to me and said, "Do you know the story behind that song?" And I said that I didn't. And she told me the story and sent me a lot of information afterwards on it. And it's a strange story. The song was written by a man called Danny Buckley. And Danny Buckley came from Ballydesmond, and at the age of 22, he looked a lot younger. He emigrated from County Cork along with his cousin, who was Sheila O'Leary. She was 16 years of age, and they emigrated to America, sailed out from Queenstown, and the ship they sailed on was the Titanic. And they left, and when it hit the iceberg, and if you read the book A Night to Remember, you'll see on page 300 and something or other that the man who broke the door down from steerage up to first class and all the confusion was Danny Buckley from Ballydesmond. And he smashed the door down, and he came up with his cousin. And in all the confusion with women and children first, he had the bright idea that he'd dress up in his cousin's clothes. So Danny Buckley, with a woman's shawl around him, got onto Lady Astor's lifeboat and made it to New York. And I think if, well, the likes of myself or Martin or Zan had pulled a stunt like that, we'd keep our mouths shut about it. But not Danny Buckley. He told everybody. And He was front page news back in Ireland, and to this day people even talk about it on that part of Ireland. And then the next year after that he wrote this song, and this is the only song we know of that he ever wrote. And that would be a strange enough story, but it gets stranger. The year afterwards, in 1914, he joined the American Army, and he served abroad in the First World War. And on the very last day of the war, he was the last American soldier to be killed. And Danny Buckley from Ballydesmond, and here's the song that he left behind for us all to sing still. My bonny bark floats wild and free across the roaring tide. It brings me far from Inishvale and the land I do adore. A lonely exile driven far by misfortune's cruel frown. Far from the friends and the home I love in sweet King William's town. While here upon the deck I stand and I gaze upon the darkening shore, kind thoughts arise all in my mind of the land I do adore. Of happy days and moonlit nights, how fast the tears roll down. As I'm thinking on those friends I love in sweet King William's town. Shall I no more gaze on that shore or view those mountains high, or walk along black waterside where I roamed once as a boy, or watch the sun o'er Knocknagour light up the heather brown. Before she flings her farewell beam on sweet King William's town. Fondly hope that where'er my footsteps roam, I will cherish deep within my heart fond thoughts and love of home. Fast fades the shore, and on my soul the night comes sadly down. Oh, it's fare thee well, old Ireland, and sweet King William's town.
Reels. The first reel we learned, myself and Marie, we learned from a man called Johnny Cronin, and he was married to Maureen Glynn, our music teacher. And well, I was kind of young at the time, so I don't remember a hell of a lot about him. But I don't remember a lot about him. But he was a really sweet guy, actually. He had a very very rough reputation. He was kind of a legend as well, even in his own time. But he was kind of sought after by many people. Two women, in fact, went to see him in a pub one time where he was supposed to play. And he showed up about an hour late and went up to the bar and ordered a few drinks. And he was, as I said, kind of rough, so he might have been using some vulgarity at the time. And one of the women was very offended, and she wanted to check, make sure this was the man, Johnny Cronin. So on his way out to the bathroom, she stopped him and she said, "Are you the man they called Johnny Cronin?" And so he said, "Yes, I am." And so she says, "Well, I think you're a horrible man. And if I was married to you, I think I'd feed you poison." So he said, "Ma'am, if I was married to you, I'd take it." But at the same time, he was a really great guy. I can remember. He's reincarnated. He was the same guy that used to bring me Oreo cookies and milk in the basement of Maureen Glynn's house and try and teach me a tune when Maureen was out getting coffee or something. She loved her coffee. So the first tune, anyway, is called The Floating Crowbar, which is a great name that only Johnny would have in a tune.
And then we're going to follow that up with a tune called The Flagstone of Memories, which was written by a great flute player named Vincent Broderick, who lives over in Ireland. And it was based, actually the tradition in Ireland, when someone was going to immigrate to America or go off to Australia years ago, it wasn't very easy to return to their homeland. So they usually held an American wake, maybe the night before, and they'd have a big party thinking that they might not see this son or daughter or niece or nephew ever again. And as someone was about to leave for the boat, they would stand on the stone just outside the door, and they might play a tune as the car pulled away, or their mode of transportation at the time. And this stone was called the Flagstone of Tears at the time. But Vincent Broderick wrote this tune and named it the Flagstone of Memories.
Right, and the last tune we're going to play is called the Donegal Traveller. And I know I learned it out of well, off of a recording of Finbar Dwyer, a great three-row button accordion player. And actually, I found out that it's a Scottish tune, but we like it anyway, so.
There's no better slip jig dancer in the whole world of Irish dance than Deirdre Goulding. And she's going to come out and dance a slip jig for us.
Thank you.
We'd like to finish our set with a tribute to a man who was a great inspiration to me in particular, but a great inspiration to everybody in Irish music in this country. A man called Ed Reavy, and Ed started out his life in the northern county of Cavan, and he grew up there until he was about 11 years of age, and then he emigrated with his family to America, and he lived the rest of his life in Philadelphia. He was a fiddle player even when he left for America. Seven uncles of his on his mother's side of the family, who all were stonemasons, they were all great fiddlers too. So he brought that with him to America, and there, of course, he met the great Irish musicians in Philadelphia. A lot of them were from the northern part of the country too. He went to school and apprenticed after that to the plumbing trade, and that was his trade throughout his life, a master plumber. And he recorded briefly for Victor in the Victor Studios across the Delaware River in Camden, New Jersey. And he made one record in 1927, but that was the only record he ever made, because even though he was a great fiddler, he found that his greatest gift of all was to compose. And he would go down to the basement of his house in West Philadelphia in the evening time when the kids were asleep, and he would take out the fiddle and the bow. Never learned to read or write music at all, but he would just composed beautiful tunes, played for the local musicians, and then if they liked it, it became part of the local tradition. And over the years, musicians from Boston, Philadelphia, or Boston, New York, and Chicago learned his tunes, carried them back to Ireland, and they were recorded there, played on radio. And in his own lifetime, he saw his tunes become part of the tradition, and he was really delighted with that. I met him when he was well on in his years. He was in his 80s, and he was a wonderful man, a very humble man, very humble about his gifts. And, well, the years passed, and Ed got more feeble, and finally he died at the age of 90, and myself and Eugene O'Donnell played at his funeral, and he was laid to rest. But his music lives after him, and what we'd like to do is finish our little set here with a tribute to Ed Reavy, and in a way, to a tribute to all the people who've inspired us over the years, and we wouldn't be playing the music we're playing today if it weren't for them. So here's a tribute to Ed Reavy, Flings and Hornpipes and Reels.
Mick Maloney, Deirdre Goulding, Martin Riley, Marie Riley, and Sam McLeod.
Good evening. I'm this evening's mystery guest. Now, I'm here to make a shameless plug. Some of you are aware that there's a silent auction going on at the moment, and it will end quite shortly. Some of you who are just in for the evening from the town maybe don't realize, but there's all kinds of great stuff out there, and I've been asked just to present two of the things out there to whet your appetite. I suppose I'm one of the people on a staff here who is not exactly shy about speaking in public. That will be the thing. In fact, my mother was inoculated with a gramophone needle. That's what they say. Anyway, apparently these are the things that caught my fancy. I thought you'd have a look at these. The first one is a really beautiful handmade chair. You can't really see it very well from there, but it's really a remarkable piece. And if you were to buy this in a store, it would be very expensive, but out there, the price hasn't gone up very far yet. So if you shoot out there quickly, you might get it. And this auction finishes after the intermission. So here's the chair. And the other thing is this wonderful bag with a mysterious thing inside, which is a nice flute. And as a flute player, I'm here to demonstrate that this is a really lovely E-flat bamboo flute. Once again, it retails at a lot of money, and out there it's virtually nothing. It does work. You can play different sorts of music on it. You can play this. Or this. So anyway, that's the shameless plug over. During the intermission, if you'd like to go outside when you're in between buying CDs and having a drink and stuff, there's a whole silent auction going on, and this is just an example of some of the great stuff. So please go and have a look. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, shh. Okay. I just made a bid at the silent auction. A great night we're having here tonight, right? Well, more announcements. We want to welcome these students from the Helvetia St. Martin Exchange who are in the house tonight. Is that true? And when I looked at this quickly, I thought it actually said Velveeta cheese. sorry. I want to remind you that the artists who have already performed and the artists who are going to perform this evening all have recordings available, and they definitely want you to buy them this evening because they're sick of carrying them around all week long. So, and even if you have them before, go out and buy some more just to be sure, so to speak. So that's the Augustus Store Annex in the lobby, which will be open during the intermission and after the show. Now on to the next two artists for you. I came over here myself in 1978, and I spent about a year living in New York, and during that time I went to a room in New Jersey in a house that had 3,000 old 78 recordings, and I discovered for the first time in my life the music from Cape Breton Island in eastern Canada, and I was just so overjoyed and thrilled, and I'm delighted to introduce two outstanding musicians from that area here this evening. Who've been teaching at the Augusta workshops. Jerry Holland, who is from Boston originally. He's one of the greatest Cape Breton fiddlers and composer of music that I know of today. His music is not only known in Cape Breton, but of course it's known in North America and over in Ireland and various other countries. He's a man who writes, as I said, many, many tunes. He has many recordings done. He's written a book called Jerry Holland's Collection of Fiddle Tunes. His latest CD is a reissue of a CD that he already recorded on the Odyssey label. He's one of my own favorite fiddlers to listen to, and he's really an inspiration to be with and to share music and stories with this week. And he's joined this evening by Mary Jessie Gillis on piano from Inverness County. She started to play music at the age of five. She learned her music from Maybelle Chisholm McQueen, who would be a niece of the famous Angus Chisholm, who in many ways would be the Michael Coleman of music from Cape Breton Island. So it gives me great, great pleasure to introduce to you this evening. And I mustn't forget, they're going to be joined with some dancing toward the end of the set by Malky Rosenfeld from North Carolina, who's the step dancing teacher, the Cape Breton step dancing teacher here at North Carolina at the week here. So please give a great round of applause and a welcome to Jerry Holland, Mary Jessie Gillis, and Malky Rosenfeld. Thanks very much.
I didn't realize how close to hell I was with all this heat and humidity. My father said I wasn't going to need a fur coat where I was headed. Well, that's when I was a little fella in bed. Now I'm a big fella in bed. Things are always in tune when you buy them. Okay, jiggas. I never know what I'm gonna do out here until I get out here and have a look around. And anyway, this is for you folks.